بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And inshallah ta'ala tonight, won't be too long, but we'll try inshallah and we'll finish, we'll conclude Surah Al-Sharh, and we reached Qawli ta'ala, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And so before this, we mentioned, and Allah Azza wa Jal mentions at the beginning of Surah Al-Sharh, He counts the favors that He gave and blessed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. So at the beginning He said, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكْ. That was a favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla upon His Messenger that He expanded His chest. And we explained and we spoke about what that implies. Then He said, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. That Allah Azza wa Jalla relieved the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his burden, and we counted already which what they were. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla counts a third blessing upon His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we elevated your mention, right? And we spoke deep about this last week. So now Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, after this ayah, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, He says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. This fa means as a result. So as a result, due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you all these favors, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, verily, no doubt, surely, مَعَ, إِنَّ is the verily part, مَعَ, this is, it's used in Arabic, and what it implies is ijtima'. So when ma'a is used, then what it does, it combines two things together. It fuses two things together, that's ma'a, with, right? Ma'a, with. So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, verily with al-usr. Al-usr is difficulty or times of difficulty. Inna ma'a al-usri. And this is actually all kinds of difficulty is meant with al-usr. Yusra comes from the word yusr, which means ease, comfort, relaxation, softness, you know, like you say, amalun yasir, a very, very easy task. So the common translation of the ayah, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so as a result, verily, surely, no doubt about it, with every single kind of hardship, there will be ease. There will be ease. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats this, inna ma'a al-usri yusra. And just a bit later we'll speak about the benefit of the repetition. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeat it? But now, I want to analyze this ayah with you linguistically. We'll do a linguistic analysis, and that's why I did something over there, and I'll show you, I'll explain to you inshallah. It's a bit difficult, but just bear with it, because the beauty of the ayah and the full comprehension and understanding of the ayah, you must go through the language side of it. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats it. So you'll need to understand some of these things. Okay, bismillah. The first thing is, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ. Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ. Now, how is al-usr translated? Commonly, people would say al-usr would translate as the difficulty, right? The difficulty. All right, if I told you all, what is the best translation, or what translation have you read for Alhamdulillah? What's the answer? All praise. Shout it out. All praise, right? Alhamdulillah, all praise. But if I said Al-Walad, for example, Walad is a child. If I said Al-Walad, what do you say as a translation? The child, right? Okay, do you notice the difference? For Alhamdulillah, you said all praise. But when I said Al-Walad, you didn't say all the boys. You said the boy. Okay, so there's something here. The thing is, with the Alif Lam in the Arabic language, it's used and it implies more than one thing. One of its meanings is Al-Istighraq. Istighraq meaning it encompasses for all things. So you want to speak about every single thing, you can say Al. So when we say Alhamdulillah, then that actually means all praise. We're saying every single praise that exists, it's all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now this Al, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ, this Al here is also لِلْإِسْتِغْرَاقِ. So when we want to translate this, we say, surely with all kinds of difficulty. Not with the difficulty. We're not specifying one difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about all kinds of difficulty that exist. Whatever it is, loss of wealth, loss of life, loss of health, sickness, whatever the loss and whatever the difficulty is, that is all put in this word al-usr. That's what al-hiya refers to. All kinds of difficulty. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, with all kinds of difficulty, big or small, psychological or physical or spiritual, whatever difficulty it is, there will be yusran, there will be ease. But now notice, in yusran there is no al-yusr, it just comes yusran by itself. What does that mean? What it means? In Arabic, there's something known as at-tanween lit-ta'zim wa lit-tafkhim. Tanween is for ta'zim and tafkhim. So what that is, when there is tanween on a word, then that implies greatness. Greatness. So yusran would mean tremendous ease. Lots and lots of a great amount of ease. That's yusran. Like for example, when Allah described the book, He said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ He said, هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ That would mean it is incredible, remarkable, absolutely incredible guidance for the believers. It's a great guidance for the muttaqeen. That's how you translate hudan, because it had a tanween at the end. Allah didn't say al-huda lil-muttaqeen, hudan. So when the tanween comes, it makes something great. So now when you want to translate this, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى With what I explained, would come with something like this. So as a result, because of all the favors Allah gave you, then for sure, with all kinds of difficulty, there will be tremendous lots and great amounts of ease. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى Then Allah Azza wa Jal repeats this again. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى Surely with, he didn't say after, right? That would be ba'da. He's saying with the difficulty, with all kinds of difficulty, there is, again, tremendous and lots of ease. Now, you know, let me explain this to you. Just I'll share with you the hadith and I'll come to this. And I'll tell you what's up there and what's down. Bukhari rahimahullah has got a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خَلَقْتُ الْعُسْرَ وَاحِدًا وَخَلَقْتُ الْيُسْرَ يُسْرَيْنِ فَلَنْ يَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْنِ It's a hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that He created the difficulty one and He created ease two, and then He said, verily, two or one difficulty will never overpower and overcome two ease. Al-Hasan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that when these ayat were revealed to the Messenger, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out of his house, he was happy. وَهُوَ يَضْحَكْ He was laughing. And he said to the people, لَنْ يَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْن لَنْ يَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْن He was saying that one difficulty will never ever overcome and overpower two ease. And he said it again, and then he recited, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا The ayat came down and he came rushing to his people and he's saying, relax people. You know, the two E's, they'll always be first in line. And one difficulty will never be able to overcome two E's. What does all that mean? You know, what is this one and two? Where did these numbers come from? And what does this ayah actually refer to and what it means? Okay, so when you see the ayah, look down the bottom. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا Both the word al-usr, which means all kinds of difficulty, came with alif lam, alif lam. So I've colored them both red because in Arabic, when you mention al for something and then you repeat it, then it means exactly the same thing. So for example, let's look at the top example. Top example. You know, someone that fasts, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches that for the one who fasts, he has how many farha? Two farha, right? Okay. So now if I was to say this, as-sa'imu yafrahu farhatan, As-sa'imu yafrahu farhatan. When I say as-sa'im, that would mean the fasting person has a joyful moment. The fasting person has a joyful moment. But when I said as-sa'im, and I repeated it again, as-sa'im, who am I referring to? this same person that is fasting. But when I said farhatan without alif lam, then both times I'm speaking about two different joyful moments. And that's what we know, that the fasting person has one joyful moment, that is when he breaks his fast, and the other is when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sees the reward that Allah azza wa jal has for him. Okay, look at the other example. And I put them in the same color, that you know, when we say as-sa'im, as-sa'im, this is the very same person. But farhatan, it didn't come with al, so they're two different joyful moments. The other example is there, إِذَا كَسَبْتَ دِرْهَمًا فَأَنْفِقْ دِرْهَمًا. What that means is that if you earn a penny, if you earn a silver coin, then give in charity a silver coin. But because there's no al in the first one, then what that means is if you earn a silver coin, then give any silver coin you have. The other one would say, إِذَا كَسَبْتَ الدِّرْهَمْ فَأَنْفِقْ الدِّرْهَمْ. Now when the al came, when it was repeated the second time, it referred to the very same silver coin. So in the second one, what it means is, if you earn the silver coin, then give the silver coin, the very same one. We're not talking about something different. So when al comes, it always refers to the one thing. Now, hopefully you'll understand the last one. That is the ayat in the Quran. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ very same usr, another yusran. That's what it is. So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, verily, with all kinds of difficulty, there is tremendous ease. Then he says, verily, with the very same kind of difficulty, there is some other ease. So this is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come out to his companions, and he would say to them that one usr, and it is one usr because they're both al, and I colored them both because they're both the same. The second one is referring to the top one. With this one difficulty, there will be how many ease? There will be two ease. Why are we saying this? Because they don't have al with them. And each one, this is called a tankir, when there's no al with it, then it's referring to a whole different ease. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Now these two ease, there's a lot of discussion about them. I'll summarize some of it for you. They say that the first ease is the ease in this life, and the second ease is for the ease in the hereafter. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ease, and he promised him twice. And the difficulty that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would face, where is it? Here and there? It's only here. In the world he'll face difficulty, right here. But then Allah azza wa jal promises him ease in this world. Right? وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. That we already read that in Surah Al-Duha. That what is to come is going to be easier and better for you than what came earlier in your life. So already there's ease in his life. And of course, what is to come is even more and more ease when the believers are under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then ultimately entering the paradise. That is ease. So the yusran, for the case of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would refer to yusran in this life. And the next yusran is speaking about the yusran over there. And the one usr is this difficulty that they're facing here. Now this is also understood in everything else of difficulty we know. I'll give you an example and one is enough. For example, sickness. Sickness is a difficulty. It's not something easy. You don't see people sitting there and smiling and laughing about sickness. But sickness is overall, from the outside, the apparent, what you see is something really, really difficult. People go to hospitals, you don't want to be in the hospital. People, you know, come back home, you can't leave the house because you're sick. There's difficulty. I need to take 1 week off work because I'm sick. From the apparent, it's difficult. Okay, this one difficulty, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying with it, there's two ease. What is the two ease in it? And Allah is saying, with the difficulty, right? He's not saying, inna ba'da al-usr. He doesn't say, after difficulty, there'll be ease. No. Alongside the difficulty, there's ease. So you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that when one is sick, what is happening as he's sick? There's something easing on the other side. His sayyat is relaxing, right? It's being wiped away. It's being wiped away. So there's ease. As he's sick, that's happening. That's one ease. And yawmul qiyamah, in the hereafter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it elevates him ranks with Allah azza wa jal. That's the other ease over there, right? So when one thing looks apparently difficult, it has two ease with it you don't even realize. That is for a normal case. But this ayah is referring to the struggles of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jal is saying to him, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ. With the one difficulty that you're experiencing now. See, one of the difficulties that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam experienced was basically his people, Quraysh. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent to Quraysh, they began to mock him, right? That was the beginning. Insult, mockery, ridicule, slander, whatever it is. And they made many, many nasty comments towards him until they even said to him, you know, they said to him, Ya Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we say, they didn't say, but they said to him, if you're preaching and teaching Islam and Quran and you're doing all this so you can earn money and fame and women and whatever it is, then look, relax, relax. We'll collect the money for you and we'll give it to you and you'll live like a king in Mecca. So that, you know, when they said that to him, it really upset the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He became saddened because of these words. Why? Because he assumed that his people, Quraysh, are denying and rejecting him because he's poor, right? And he's assuming that they only rejected me because I'm poor. Maybe if I was rich, they would have followed me, right? So it becomes upsetting and saddening for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he promised him that there will be ease in this life and there will be ease in the hereafter. And Allah azza wa jal promised him these two ease, yusran, yusran. He feared that what it could be, the poverty that is turning away people, that very same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually in this life opened up for him. So he became the richest of all. And then still, the intention of Quraysh and their attitude really, it became apparent that he became rich. And in Mecca, what happened? You know, you said that if he became rich and so on, maybe you would have accepted the message. That happened and nothing really happened from their side. And in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give him, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. He'll give him and give him and give him so much that he'll become pleased at the end, right? So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him. Not only that, he also promised him two of these ease in this world. So you know in Surah إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, That surah, Surah Al-Fatih, what are the two E's in there? Allah Azza wa Jal tells him, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, that's one ease. That will be one, the victory of Allah is coming. What's the second one? وَالْفَتْح, the fatah, right? The victory and the conquer. So that's two E's as well. And what was the one difficulty? Only his people, that they denied and they rejected him. For subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal gives him counsel and comfort. And he says to him, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Okay, so now let me just discuss with you the benefits of the repetition. Why does it come twice? The first one is, يعني, because one is referring to the past and one is referring to his future life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you ease when you were young. We already saw this in Surah Al-Duha. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى, and he provided shelter for you. وَوْجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, and you were seeking, you were confused, then Allah Azza wa Jal gave you the wahi, the guidance. That was when he was at his younger ages. And then وَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, and you found you in a desperate state, and he enriched you. So, the first one would refer to that the ease was given to you at a younger age, and then you faced this one difficulty of Quraysh, and then you'll be given a lot of ease and good in the near future. That is of Fatah Makkah and cleaning the Kaaba from the idols and all the way, etc. Until يعني, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. Okay, so that's why the first one. One, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى, is for his past. Then he faced the difficulty. Then Allah Azza wa Jal gave him some more ease. He said, it's more is coming on the way. Okay, the other one is that one ease, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى, this ayah is referring to this life. إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى, it's referring to the hereafter. And the last and final benefit of this is the repetition is there for love. For love and care and mercy towards the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you know, for example, we do this now. If someone was sick, right, in your family and you go to him and you say, you know, it'll be fine, you'll be okay, you'll be okay. You mention it twice. You say it twice, right? Why? You repeat it what? Out of love. Right? You say to them, it'll be fine, don't worry, it's all good, right? You repeat yourself, and that is an indication of love. So, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforting His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam twice. So, there is no room left whatsoever for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to think that there is nothing but ease coming on the way. So he just comforts him by saying it twice. SubhanAllah, that is the meaning of the repetition. Then Allah Azza wa Jal concludes the surah by saying, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. It's a very, very heavy ayat. When you really understand these and you implement them, you'll find this happiness that Allah Azza wa Jal had just promised in the previous ayah. He says to him, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. When you are free, when you have been relieved from your duties. What does that mean? Aslan, did the Prophet ﷺ even have free time? Did he even have free time? Allah is saying to him, when you have free time, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. When you're finished from your duties and you've done, then Allah Azza wa Jal says to him, فَانْصَبْ. Fansab. Fansab means stand yourself up straight. And fansab also comes from the word nasab. Nasab also means for something to be wobbly and tired. Like for you say, bi nasabun. That means I'm tired. I'm exhausted. So in one meaning of nasb, it means to peg yourself straight upright. And in another meaning of nasb, it means to be sort of wobbly and exhausted. So what does it mean? Fansab. Fansab, subhanAllah, it means exhaust yourself in worship. Worship until the point you're exhausted. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to him, stand up in prayer and exhaust yourself. Of course, that is referring to as-salat, qiyamul layl. Now, I'll tell you something. I'll speak to you something about Musa alayhi salam, and then I'll shift back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi salam. You see, Musa alayhi salam, he saw a fire on the mountain, and he was called, and he went there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. Like there was an epic conversation happening in human proportion, it has never happened before, right? Musa alayhi salam is engaged in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the first thing he asks Musa alayhi salam on the mountain? He says to him, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. He says to him, what is that in your right hand, O Musa? Allah Azza wa Jal already knows what's in his right hand, right? That's why he said tilka, he didn't say dhaka. He said tilka, that already it already implies and it indicates that Allah already knew what is in hand. Musa alayhi salam, what did he respond? He didn't say, anta ta'lamu ya Rabb. He said, Allah, you know. He didn't say that. Listen to what he says. He says, hiya asai, it's my staff. Atawakka'u alayha, I sometimes lean on it. وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَىٰ غَنَمِي. And I beat the bushes with it. Like I hit the trees and then the leaves fall and the sheep eat from the leaves. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَىٰ. And I have so many other things I can do with it. What did Allah ask him? What's in your right hand? The answer is a staff and end of story. But what we see is that the answer is prolonged. So Musa alayhi salam, he is answering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in things he didn't even ask him about. He's saying what he can do with it and what he does with it. And what does that prove? If anything, it only proves that Musa alayhi salam is enjoying the conversation with Allah and he doesn't want it to end, so he prolongs it as much as he wants. Now, why am I telling you this? Straight after this, Allah tells to Musa, اذهب إلى فرعون. That's it. Enough talk. Go to Fir'aun. You need to go. I know you like the conversation with Allah. You're enjoying it. But you need to go. And who you have to go to? The worst of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's engaged in the best of conversation one could ever ask for. And he's been told to go from the very best to the ugliest of conversations he'll ever experience. Right? So if there's anything on the face of the earth, if Fir'aun was the last one on the earth, you probably even didn't want to talk to him even after that. But Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that has to be done. So what I'm trying to say to you is that the works of the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, is pretty hard. It's not difficult. On one hand, they are engaged in conversation with Allah. And on the other hand, they are engaged in conversation with the people. And you know, of course, as we said, the best of conversation is that with Allah. And some of the ugliest conversations and the worst of conversations will happen with these creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had to do the da'wah as well. And he would do the da'wah during the day, right? He's calling his people Quraysh during the day. And no doubt, that is really ugly conversation. What they would say to him, what they would do to him, was really nasty. But then, subhanallah, at the end of this, there is a night. The day would finish, the da'wah would finish, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ, meaning when you finish your da'wah during the day, da'wah's done during the day, you're going back home. Now Allah Azza wa Jal is saying to him, Fansab, when you have free time. When does he have this free time? When he's finished the da'wah during the day. Now there's free time. What you should do? Now you can go and do what you always wanted to do. And that is to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during Qiyamul Layl, during the Salat. So Allah says to him, Fansab, stand and exhaust yourself in the prayer. Inna laka fi nahari sabhan tawila, qumi layla illa qalila. Get up the whole night if you want, except a bit, right? And pray and pray, and you're engaged in the best of conversation. And in that night prayer, he's being recharged. So that after this, the next morning, he is ready to go again with his people. And when the battery becomes flat again, that night is given again and it's recharged. And this is what Fansab does. It recharges the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Their conversation with Allah ignites, it charges them up. And then they have to go and release that charge with the people outside. Subhanallah. You know, nowadays, people go holidays for the reason of what? Of coming back to work strong. You go to holiday to come back strong. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's free time, the holiday, that holiday we call, that was his salat. And he'd do that so the next day he's strong in his da'wah alayhi salatu wassalam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would pray at night until his feet became swollen and tafattarat. In other words, it cracked. They started to, cracks would happen in it. That's tafattarat. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she'd say, why? Why are you praying? Allah already forgave you all your past and your future mistakes. They're all done. What's this for? So subhanAllah, the way he answers it, he said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shall I not be a thankful and a grateful servant? Yeah, if that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed his mercy upon me, I didn't take the advantage of it, right? I still need to be a grateful and a thankful servant. So this is how he explained why he'd pray the nights. That was something that he'd always longed for. So Allah Azza wa Jal would say, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. And you know, subhanAllah, this ayah is a solution for what is killing the people, and that is this free time. This ayah is a solution for free time. You know, subhanAllah. Or this idea of, what are you doing, brother? I'm killing time. What do you mean you're killing time? There is no such thing as killing time in a Muslim's life. Or there is no such thing as, Allah, I'm bored now, I don't know what to do, I'm thinking about what to do. No. Allah Azza wa Jal gave us the solution for that. And he said, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. And if you were to adapt this ayah in your life, you will see how lightning and how fresh and how bright your life would be. So فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. That also means that if you finish from this, for the messenger, when you finish from your daily activity, that is a da'wah. This also would be relevant in the meaning the ulama said, that إِذَا فَرَغْتَ مِنْ أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا. If you were to finish from work, from worldly affairs, you're working all day and then you finished, fansab. Straight from there, come to the masjid, pray with the people, and then go home, right? That's فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ, you're done. Now, fansab, you need to exhaust yourself. You don't go back home and just, you know, I'm exhausted, I can't do anything, I can't move. That's not fansab, right? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He knows that you're exhausted. And what would give you the charge for the next day would actually, you'd think, no, praying would exhaust me more. But it won't. It would charge. And you need to try this. It's easy said. But when it's tried and practical and you put it in practice, you'll find its benefits. Wallahi, your own self you'll experience and you'll have a story to mention. So فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. SubhanAllah. When the worldly life, when that is done, get up and pray. Also, some of the ulama would say that فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ, when the woman gives birth and she finally delivers her load, alright, fansab, pray. Read Quran after it. It's not like, alhamdulillah, I gave birth, now I can relax until the next child. There's no fansab. Do something. Pray. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read Quran. And that's how it is. And that's how it remains. And you know, my dear brothers and sisters, worldly life is always busy. It doesn't finish. It will never finish. It doesn't stop. As a matter of fact, if people in the grave were able to talk, if you asked each one of them, brother, do you finish your work? They'd say, no, I've still got a few things to do, but my life was cut short. I couldn't finish them, right? You won't finish. You won't finish. Everyone in his grave has unfinished business. So what that teaches is, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ, since your entire life is busy, you're busy with tasks and projects. When you finish one task, فَانْصَبْ, then start the next task. You finish it, فَانْصَبْ. You finish it, start another task. Then فَانْصَبْ. Don't wait until I finish. You'll never finish. There will be nothing called the finish. But there is such something known as, I'll finish this task. I'll do my exam, I'll finish it, right? I'll work from 9 to 5, I'm going to finish at 5. There is something, every day you'll say, I'll finish at this time, I finish at this time. But when you look at it from the outside, your entire life, no, there is no finish. So, how would you implement this ayah? Task after task. Every time you finish a project and a task, fansab. And that fansab should recharge you for the next project and the next task. And you'll see through it like you've never seen before. And then you do the other task. And then once it's done, fansab again. Subhanallah, this is an incredible advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ, and only to your master devout your worship. And only to your master be lovingly devout. Direct your worship and your longing of worship only to him. Allah says, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. Normally, فَرْغَبْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. But when you say, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ, then that would mean only and only and only to your Lord. Right? That implies ikhtisas, they say. Ikhtisas, exclusivity. Only and only to Allah and no one else. You shall be lovingly devout to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Farghab. Raghiba is to lovingly devote yourself to someone. In this case, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, subhanallah, if we study the final days of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life, we see that he was preparing and devout to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was preparing to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, towards the end of his life, he really became sick. Very, very sick. Like at the end, he couldn't even get to Masjid al-Nabawi and pray with the يعني Sahaba. He couldn't pray with them until he even had to get Ali radiallahu anhu and al-Fadl, and he had to be carried on their shoulders just to be taken out of his house towards the Masjid. And then he said something. He said something profound. He said, as he came out, he gave a khutbah to the people. He said that a slave was given a choice to stay in this world or to be with his master, and the slave chose the master. He said it that way in third person. No one understood anything except Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who he began to cry because he knew that slave was the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah azza wa jal had chosen him now so he can die. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right towards the end of his life, what did he say to him? He said to him, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجَ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Towards the end of his life, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَرَغْتَ. He finished. What was his mission? His mission was to deliver Islam. Now Medina is an Islamic state. It has been established. Mecca has been opened. The Quran has been complete. Everyone knows Islam. Alhamdulillah, he opened a curtain and he saw the companions praying. All is good. That's it. My mission is done. I can go now. But how does Allah tell him how you conclude? Now you finished your mission. What should you do? He says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. Declare the perfection of your Lord and seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness. That's how you conclude your life, because you've just finished your duty. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتِ, you're done. فَانْصَبْ. فَانْصَبْ is سَبِّحْ. فَسَبِّحْهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. That's فَانْصَبْ here. Subhanallah. So you know, incredible, incredible lesson. Allah Azza wa Jal is giving advice to his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And يعني, it's with this that we complete the surah. And يعني, as we said, try to make this a practical part of your life. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ, in the meaning of when you finish one task, one project, فَانْصَبْ. To who فَانْصَبْ? إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. To him devout your worship. And make sure no one knows about it except you, right? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the prophets this gift of Qiyamul Layl, because no one will know they're doing it, right? Until Allah azza wa jal said it about in the Quran about them. Otherwise, how would we have known that they did that at night? Unless Allah azza wa jal told us in the Quran. So وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. Just before I finish, there was one more point I forgot to mention. That is the ending of the surah and how it's related to the beginning of the surah. So basically, the ending of the surah is a condition for the beginning of the surah. What is the end? فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. What is the beginning of the surah? أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Spoke about the expansion of the chest. So if you want that expansion of the chest, what's the condition? فَانْصَبْ. Right? Do you stand in prayer for Allah and devout your worship to Him? And if you do that, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, will give you that expansion of the chest. And already, if you remember, we spoke about that, and we said that that was one of the du'a. رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي was one of the du'a that allowed the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to continue in his da'wah without being nudged or budged from anyone at all. Subhanallah. So there's the cycle of the surah. Do the end and Allah will give you the beginning of it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.